When someone is awkward, lacks social skills, you know, doesn't seem to have it going on, struggles with personal interactions, that just happens. All right. Some people, it's a question of maturity. Some people, it's a question of their comfort zones. And other people, it's just, you know, something they haven't gotten to yet. But the reality is, sometimes awkward is self-inflicted. Awkward can be self-inflicted, and we are seeing awkward self-inflicted moments left and right in the left's attempts to get Kamala Harris elected. It's gotten to the point that it's desperate, because what we're doing, awkward is created when someone has the self-inflicted moment of trying too hard to be something they're not, and it backfires. Have you ever sat there, like I'll never forget one time, I'm sitting in church, and this guy gets up to sing a solo. And within 30 seconds, you just knew it was so bad. You're thinking, who screened this guy? Who told him he could sing? And I don't know about anybody else in the church, but I was sitting there breaking out in like a cold sweat. It was secondhand embarrassment is what it really is. Secondhand embarrassment as somebody's up there on stage doing something, you're thinking, oh my gosh, somebody make him stop. This is awful. Well, we're seeing that kind of thing out of the left right now. They are not firing on all cylinders. They are scared to death that they're about to lose, and their desperation is making them do awkward, stupid stuff. Now, some of it's from people that are outside the actual campaign. It's people who are trying too hard to help her out, and it's really not helping. Like, for instance, story that pulled off a Woke Spy. In a desperate attempt to prove she worked at McDonald's, Democrats rapidly circulated an image purporting to show Kamala Harris in her McDonald's uniform over the weekend. They finally found it? She actually did work there? Is this going to be true? Yeah, well, about that. The fast food chain itself has repeatedly said it has no record of the Democrat working there, and the image does seem to show a young-looking vice president, though, standing joyfully in front of a chest of drawers in a bedroom wearing a blue uniform with striped sleeves. Except the problem is it was photoshopped. Why would somebody do this? It was photoshopped. Made evident by the fact that another nearly identical photograph of a white woman in a McDonald's uniform was circulated almost simultaneously. So in other words, Democrats lied, and it became very awkward, and it went away very quickly. But then you look at stuff that's a little bigger, all right? That's like some one-off, somebody on social media shouldn't have gone down that road. Next thing you know, they're retweeting it and circulating it, trying to do all the things. Oh, she's real. Look, she worked at McDonald's. It's all good. No, she didn't really. But then you get into things like this one. I'm not a fan of Jeff Bezos. I'm not. I mean, I think he's a liberal hack. I think he's an elitist. But he did something the other day that kind of caught people off guard. People are looking at this and going, wait a minute. The Washington Post. See, Jeff Bezos owns the Washington Post. He also was with Amazon and Blue Origin. I mean, he's a billionaire. And Jeff Bezos, he owns the Washington Post, which is notoriously one of the most liberal, hackish newspapers in the nation, maybe the world. They portray themselves as news, but they are so basically entitled in their liberal progressivism that you can't ever trust a thing that comes out. If you're a conservative, you will not get a fair shake. That's the general feeling. Well, Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos penned an op-ed defending his paper's, quote, principled decision not to endorse a presidential candidate. And everybody went, what just happened? And the left is having a meltdown. And it's getting really awkward. It's getting so awkward, in fact, that what they're doing is they're betraying what we've always known about them. But Bezos is telling them, we can't keep going down this road and gain the respect of the people that we want to portray ourselves as news for. And yet, the fallout is happening left and right. Why? Because liberals do not like it when people don't agree. And when they think they have their safe space. It's a safe space. This was my cry room. The Washington Post was my cry room. Well, here's what Bezos said. He said, quote, we must be accurate and we must be believed to be accurate. It is a bitter pill to swallow, but we are failing on that second requirement. He said, most people believe the media is biased, and anyone who doesn't see this is paying scant attention to reality. And those who fight reality lose. Reality is an undefeated champion. Now, by the way, I want to keep that phrase and remind him later when he supports transgenderism that he said that reality is an undefeated champion. Anyway, he went on to say, in this case, it would be easy to blame others for our long and continuing fall in credibility, but a victim mentality will not help. Complaining is not a strategy. We must work harder to control what we can control to increase our credibility. In other words, what he's saying is, we didn't endorse Kamala Harris because it lacks credibility. What he's basically saying is, I don't believe in it, and I own this freaking paper, and all of y'all can get on board. Meanwhile, oh, by the way, this article that I've got here from Fox News says the fallout over the decision is apparently leading the Post to pay a heavy price. NPR has now reported that the paper has lost 200,000 subscribers. 200,000 subscribers since Friday. That's just in a matter of days. Liberal readers are outraged that the Post won't endorse Harris, and multiple members of the editorial staff have also resigned. Good riddance. You don't need them. Bezos, go hire. Listen, I don't mind if somebody has a different opinion and they work for a paper. But don't portray yourself as unbiased and then be entirely biased. And then get mad when someone calls you biased. Because all that does is create the awkward moment that shows that we can see through your veneer. Anyway, how you doing over there, brother? You still working on software? What are you doing over there?
I've done all I can do.
Listen, we're going to get through this show. It's going to be fine. It's all good. I got a few text messages, then I'm going to get into... I got some audio, by the way. In fact, I tell you what we'll do. Let's do this. You can play audio, right? All good on that? So let's talk about... I gave you some surrogate stuff, right? There's one-off people doing stupid stuff right now on social media trying to make new pictures of Kamala like she wore a McDonald's uniform she never wore. Didn't work. Very awkward. Then we got things like Jeff Bezos exposing his own people and saying, we lack credibility. No, as a paper, Washington Post is not going to endorse Kamala Harris, and they're having a complete meltdown. Why? Oh, it's awkward. Oh, it's awkward. It's so awkward. But then there's the candidates themselves. Then there's Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, who have reached new heights for awkwardness. The kind where you look at and go, my gosh, how did you get this far in the public realm? Did people feel sorry for you along the way? Is that what happened? Well, one of the stories that I've got here from Daily Caller. How many of y'all have seen that apparently Kamala has multiple accents? JP, you seen this? She's got accents for every situation.
She's got them kept back in her brain that she apparently thinks are good accents to pull out.
They just pop forward as needed. Like, she's apparently Jamaican today. No, she's a black pastor tomorrow. Oh, by the way, she's going to wind up being, you know, a Southern Gentile lady. So I've got an article here from Daily Caller. I would really suggest y'all check this one out. This one is a hoot. So all these resources, you hear me rattle on the paper? If you go to our website, rightsidemedia.org, go to our live stream where you can see us in studio, there's a button that says resources. Every article that I've pulled together to give you guys, you know, good background is all available to you. And the one that I'm talking about is in Dipper 1. It's from Daily Caller. It's called The Quick Translation Guide to Kamala's Many Fake Accents. And they walk through all of them. Now, the newest one happened this past weekend. And so I'm gonna be calling for audio clip number 2, bud. So this past Saturday or Sunday, Kamala Harris debuted her latest accent at a rally in Philadelphia. It might be her best one yet. This is her admirable attempt to appeal to black Christian women, and it just smacks of lack of sincerity and really awkward. Play that.
Weeping may endure for a night.
Oh, God. Hang on. Did you lose it? Where'd it go? Play it again. Did we lose it? I heard the beginning of it. Tell me when you got it back. It's just unbelievable.
Night. But joy cometh in the morning.
No.
The path may seem hard, the work may seem heavy, but joy cometh in the morning, and church morning is on its way.
God Almighty. Listen, that's not normal. That is so awkward. And I have to wonder how many of those were pity claps in the background. I mean, so here's my theory on this. The person who goes and constantly changes their accent for whoever they're speaking for at the time has an insecurity that they don't know how to match. And so they try to be a chameleon for the crowd as opposed to being who they are. And that's what you're dealing with. the awkwardness of Kamala Harris changing her accent. She's got another one where the article says she sounds more like a cashier at a Buc-ee's in East Texas. Like she's serving up some sweet tea, y'all. I mean, like, what just happened? Who'd she just become? She's channeling her inner Southern lady at that one. She was the big-hearted Latina woman in one of them. She was a sinister French madam with a strange accent in another. She was her Jamaican grandmother on another one talking about coconuts. Y'all, I'm telling you, awkward does not even begin to describe what we're seeing coming out of this campaign. All right, listen, we're going to wind up taking a break. We're going to come right back. I got more audio. One of the most awkward things ever happened in one of her rallies yesterday. But y'all, I'm just telling you, awkward is funny, and awkward is also not what we need in the White House. We're taking a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Kamala, I'm talking about awkwardness, right? I'm talking about these self-inflicted awkward moments, the kind where you look at it and go, oh, that just happened. And you almost feel bad for them. Then you realize, nope, that's good for us. I'm glad that happened, but still it was awkward. So Kamala was speaking to a rally yesterday. And in what, you know, was obviously kind of a canned moment, the crowd was shouting, Kamala, Kamala. And then I want y'all to hear what happens when she tries to win the crowd over and say, y'all need to stop and shout your own names. And it went silent. Like you can watch the video and tell it, all she did was confuse the audience and they just stopped yelling. Because obviously this was not a spontaneous, fully emotional, everybody wants to yell kind of moment. This was a moment when they were doing what they were told to do. So there was probably somebody with a prompter saying, chant Kamala, Kamala, and they thought that was their call to cut it off. And all she could do was cackle. She had a moment where she's like, ha, 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 ha. What I'm saying is, play that clip.
Okay, now I want each of you to shout your own name. Do that. Because it's about all of us. It's about all of us. And listen, I have fought my whole career to put the people.
Oh, my gosh. Can you back that up and play it again? Did y'all gather that? So when you're ready, give me the thumbs up. The reality is she literally just wiped out the so-called crowd enthusiasm. I mean, they had this feigned enthusiasm. They were doing what they were told to do. They're yelling Kamala, and they've all got these same signs, and it looks a little bit like a North Korean rally. And they all are standing, there's Kamala, Kamala. And then all of a sudden she yells at them to say their own names and they have no idea what to do. And it all comes to a grinding halt, because that's what happens when you have forced or feigned enthusiasm. And then when someone turns off the teleprompter light, they don't know what to do. Play it again.
Okay, now I want each of you to shout your own name. Do that. Because it's about all of us. It's about all of us.
I wish y'all could see her face. You saw it, JP. I mean, was that a moment of like, oh, crap, awkward?
Yeah, that was a, I don't know what else to do, so I'm just going to giggle moment.
Giggle and then try to start talking and pretend that didn't just happen.
By the way, all of her rallies, I've never seen the chants sound more orchestrated, because normally organic chants, they kind of start with a couple of people and then slowly they all... It seems like everyone there starts at the same time, and it just does not seem organic.
And apparently they're also told to end at the same time, and they thought that was their cue.
Yeah.
A bunch of text messages. Gary from Decatur says, John Kirby is the Navy's biggest embarrassment since Jimmy Carter. I'm not going to argue that point. Wendell from Baton Rouge says, Adam Schiff, but I like pencil neck better. Thank you, sir. JT Lacey Spring says, seems Kamala is doing the same as Joe, trying to relate to the crowd just with an accent. Yeah, Joe always had a habit of, Joe had to have a story. He grew up in their neighborhood, you know. Joe ate dinner at their house. Joe knew their mama. Joe, you know, fought their battles and walked their streets and went to their schools and played basketball in their gyms and all of it. Kamala just changes the way she talks. Now, both are awkward. I mean, I don't know how many times I've laughed about Joe getting up there and saying, and in fact, I even had a montage at one point of all the places that Joe said he had been to grow up as, it, you know, in a synagogue, in a mosque, in you know, in an Italian restaurant. It was nuts. Kamala just changes the way she talks. John from Huntsville says, hey, just letting you know, your timing was nearly perfect that time. JP, just keep – listen, John from Huntsville, I want you to give all the points to JP today because he's running an external clock and we are still hitting our mark, and that's good. Red from Tony, Alabama says, that was more than a different accent. She was speaking in a whole different century. Kenya from Monrovia says, Kamala just copied Hillary in the made-up accent. How did that work out for Hillary? Not well. Not well at all. Ken from Harvest says, there's no pity claps for Kamala. More like a clap track, like the old laugh tracks on bad sitcoms. Yeah, the kind where they don't have the live audience. How many times, as a kid growing up, Sanford and Son is filmed before a live audience. I don't know why they had to tell us that. Why did we care? Jason from Huntsville says, I already know where you're going. Tim Walz trying to play John. Yes. Jason's got it nailed. On his computer, he's playing John Madden football on his computer or Xbox with an Xbox controller that wasn't on. And by the way, your text cut off, Jason, so I can't see the rest of it. I'll tell you what. Let me jump. How much time have I got, my clock man?
We got about 2 minutes.
So Tim Walz is a former high school football coach, is what we understand. Tim Walz is doing this thing where he's trying to, you know, raise awareness of what a guy he is. And I don't know why playing Madden football with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is considered to be, I don't know, helping out the bros. Didn't really work. So he did this kind of live stream of he and AOC playing Madden football. Now, JP, I'm sure you grew up playing Madden. Am I right?
Oh, I still – well, right now it's the new college football game instead. But, yeah, I still play those games.
Absolutely. How much time do I have for this? Do I have time to go all the way into it?
You got about a minute and a half. So we can preview it.
So here's the deal. Walz is sitting there wearing a camouflage Minnesota Vikings cap, and he's got a dual screen going, him and AOC, and they're playing a live stream of Madden football. It's all the stuff, man. It's all the dude stuff. And then – and I'm guessing – I'm hoping – this is somebody in his campaign who doesn't really know football but heard terms and wanted to sound cool on his behalf. And they put out a post. And they put out a post that immediately drew a whole lot of, like, awkward rebuff. Because he gets out there and he says, Ocasio-Cortez can run a mean pick six. You don't run a pick six. A pick six happens.
He's got a killer kick six play.
he's got pick six built into the playbook. It doesn't work like that. And he says, and he actually says that. He says, and we both know when you take time to draw up a playbook, you're going to use it like that's a play. This is a football coach. Everybody saw through it immediately. Now listen, are we picking? Sure we are. We're picking because it's goofy. It's awkward. It's self-inflicted. This is what happens when you let some, you know, neophyte, young intern run your social media for you, and you're running for vice president of the United States. No telling what they'd say about Israel and Iran. People are putting all kinds of comments out there. You don't run a pick six. You run the West Coast offense or the spread offense. This is Vance, by the way. This is J.D. Vance saying this. He said, it made me realize, even though they say Tim Walz was a football coach, I think I know more about football than Tim Walz. And he goes on to say, and they wonder why they can't get men to vote for this ticket. We actually had one on X say, I'm not sure Kamala ever worked at McDonald's, and now I'm unsure if Walz ever coached football. Look, we're going to come back from this break. How much time have I got, bud? We're going to come back from this break.
Go ahead and head out.
All right. And I got a couple more we're going to go through. And I'll be honest with you. Awkward? We don't need awkward on the world stage. We don't need awkward dealing with national and international leaders. We don't need awkward fixing our economy. We need people in there that don't embarrass us when they do stuff. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, listen, let me jump back on this thing and wrap this segment up. So awkward moments, oh, yes. Oh, yes, they've got them. By the way, how awkward is it that you're trying to win the men's votes, but your running mate has a nickname of Tampon Tim? Just, you can't make this stuff up. There's got to be a laugh track over there somewhere. Thank you. Thank you very much. You're just on it today, brother. Gwen Waltz is the wife of Minnesota Governor and Democrat Vice Presidential hopeful Tim Waltz. Story here on Fox News. She was asked by Katie. Good for Katie Couric. Katie, and by the way, I didn't see this one, so I don't know. I don't know the tone in which it was asked, but Katie Couric actually asked the First Lady of Minnesota about the fact that her husband has the nickname of Tampon Tim. Tampon. A nickname that was coined by conservatives when he signed a bill in his state that would put free menstrual products in all school restrooms, including boys' rooms. This is happening. By the way, that's who wants to be your vice president. The guy who puts feminine hygiene products in the boys' rooms. Just there. Well, pray tell, what is it that Gwen Waltz relies upon as the proper justification for putting menstrual products in the boys' room? In her words, it will help them learn to read. I just said that. And some of you out there are going, what did he say? Yes. She said it would help them learn to read. She says if kids are hungry in school, what does that do to the brain and learning? You're not going to learn to read. So if you're talking about learning to read and closing gaps, you better take away the barriers for that. If that's tampons, that's tampons, right? That's her quote. That's a direct quote from Gwen Waltz. That's awkward. That's beyond awkward. And oh, by the way, they're trying to win the male vote, and they're losing it, and they wonder why. She says, Tim and I have always thought about removing barriers to learning and success, and whatever barrier that is, whether it be free lunch or menstruation products or knowing who... Who does this, by the way? Who goes out there on the campaign trail and wants to talk about feminine hygiene? Oh, okay. Awkward doesn't even begin to... Here's awkward last. Awkward last. You ready? Last one. Because I know this has been painful, and some of y'all are breaking out in a cold sweat about it. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, who I don't know, something about her, you look at her on camera and you think, that woman's got a cold heart. I mean, you just look at her and think, I'm pretty sure she inflicts pain. But Vice President Harris and Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer were having a beer at the bar, just hanging out. You know, two ladies out for a night, sitting at a bar in Kalamazoo, having a serious conversation. So serious that a video has begun making the rounds where it appears they forgot that there are microphones nearby. Apparently, they were having a real conversation. And Harris is heard talking. So my thing is, we got to move some ground among the men. And then you can watch the video. All of a sudden, Harris turns around and realizes his microphones. And she even says, we got microphones in here. Just listen to everything. Didn't realize that. So the bottom line is, latest polls from New York Times show that Harris is leading Trump with women 54-42, but Trump leads Harris among men 55-41, and they don't know what to do about it. And all they keep doing is creating awkward moments. And by their own admission, they're trying to gain ground and they can't. Meanwhile, they're screwing up on the terminology from playing Madden and talking about putting feminine hygiene products in the boys' rooms. And then they wonder why they can't get the male vote. Awkward does not even begin to describe where we are with this campaign. All right, we're going to skip that. We're going to go take a break right now. We'll come right back from this break. And y'all, when we get back, I'm going to call an audible. We're going to go to Saving Title IX. I'm going with that dipper next. I got a great audio from Riley Gaines. You're going to want to hear it. It's worth it. And JP, I'm loving having our bump music back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.